Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm on Vivica in the San Francisco Bay. We just took her out for a beautiful sail, and I'm here with Milos. And Milos, tell us a little bit about where you came from and what you're doing.
Hey, good day. I just came from East Coast, from Cape Cod, and I came to San Francisco to help a friend, Jerry, who runs the amazingly beautiful boat Vivica, which is in the final stage of her restoration and bringing to new life. And we just finished. Amazing sail. It's my first time in San Francisco, and I love every bit of it.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I am here on Vivica with...
My name's Mark Nile.
How was it today?
It was really great. It was slow at the beginning, but we got some puffs by the end of it, and of course it's great. Sailing on a 1929 schooner, how could it ever not be great?
Where are you from, and where did you come before you came here to Vivica?
I'm from South Sydney, Australia, where I did my boat building apprenticeship, and then I went to Canada for the best part of 3 years before coming down here to California to work for Jeff.
How is it to see this project finished?
Oh, exhilarating, fantastic, a whole bunch of words like that, I guess.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm here on Vivica with the captain, Jerry Atkins. And Jerry, how was it being out and seeing this beautiful boat finished and going out and sailing today?
Incredibly satisfying. It's been a long haul this year. We came here in January, so almost a year ago. It's been a tough year, but it's very satisfying to have the job done, and the boat is sailing great, and she's a lovely boat to sail, and we're really happy, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me aboard. It was great sailing with you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate it.
So I'm here on Vivica with Magdalena. And Magdalena, this is your first time out sailing, but you went up to the top of the mast. How was that?
Yes, it was a little scary, but pretty amazing. No other view like the top of the mast. And plus, you're sitting in a chair, so it still feels pretty safe.
And now you're sailing at the helm.
Yeah, first time on one of my dad's boats. And it's quite the experience. It's a great time.
This is Karen Lyle, and I'm here with Monpuya, who was drumming for us on Vivica today. How'd you like the sail?
I mean, sailing was good. I mean, being with you guys, it was lovely. And then it's a beautiful day. On top of that, drumming, yeah, they mix my day today by drumming and you dancing. It was a wonderful.
It was fantastic, Dave.
Fantastic. I love it.
Thank you for that. Christopher Cross, applesauce on the crisscross, going to make you jump. It is 9:40 on a Tuesday. This is when we check in with Karen Lyle, who will co-host this segment with me. She is from SailsportTalk.com. And Karen, we know that you over there at SailsportTalk.com are mad on SailGP. I thought we'd maybe talk about some of the technical issues behind it, because it is a pretty, just since I've been following it with you, it seems that it has changed a little bit. But the whole thing about coming out of the water and becoming on the foils, and when it was in town here a couple months ago and I saw it with Patty Mangan, basically, if you come down on your catamaran hulls, you're dead in the water. You got to get up out of the water, don't you?
Well, you still sail when you're in the water, because, of course, that's what sailboats have been doing since we've had boats in the water. It's just slower. And so usually how much wind there is will make a determination as to how fast the boat can go, because the friction when the boat is in the, when the hull is in the water is much greater, and there's a lot more drag on the boat. And so when it gets up off the foils, of course, then it goes faster. And we had... moderate wind. So we did get a lot of foiling on this particular race course. It was a tight race course. It was in the outer harbor of the San Pedro Bay, which is actually where SpaceX was set up with the space capsule. So when people locally were saying, now, where is this race? And they say, you know, where SpaceX was. Oh, yeah. Because, they come in, they set it up kind of like a circus, and everything is, the village is set up. It took about 2 weeks to set up the whole the whole experience for the fan, and also the technical places so that the boats could be brought in and assembled. They have to go into the water and out of the water every day. Anyway, if you go to sailsporttalk.com, I have a couple of photographs that we can kind of talk about some of the rigging and how the boat is, how this boat differs from like a traditional sailboat and what's unique about having to adjust for the weather.
Well, this is the F50. What would you say is the most profound distinction of the F50?
Well, let me compare it not with other catamarans in its class, but with the sailboats that your average sailor who puts their, you know, hoists their own main and hanks on their own jib. Basically, what makes a difference, this boat has a rigid sail, and you can't reef, which is to change the height of the sail for the wind, on the water like you can with a traditional sloop or schooner or brigantine. You have to actually take the whole assembly off, the wing, they call it, and put it with a hoist, and then it has to be taken apart. There's sections to it. And for those who happen to have some computer device close by that they can look at the photographs, there's one of the Emirates Great Britain team wing on the side, and you can kind of see how there are these sections, and it takes overnight because there's all these electronics inside. And, you know, not only do you have the lines that run, but you've got all the electronics. And so those are what are giving the signals to the camera, you know, to the cameras, to the team, to the tactician, you know, to the team on land as well, because there's a lot of feedback.
What would and I'm on the website. Where are the pictures you were talking about?
You would just go to Sailsport Talk, and there is a behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, post. That article. Okay.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. Wow. And you so, don't. I guess you don't even really realize how high those sails are until you see them. They're like little dry dock warehouse there. That's pretty amazing.
I know. I wanted to show that because when you see the people next to it, you know, because out on the water, they look small when you're looking mm-hmm. at it from a distance. But when you see them on their sides and the people next to them, you can really get the scope of the whole thing and how difficult these things are to maneuver. I mean, and they're in the and I thought what was very interesting in this particular technical tour is I was there on Thursday and Friday before the race started and got to spend some time just, you know, in the technical area. And with great thanks to SailGP for giving me that access, I really appreciated it because I happen to really like technical things and be interested in the way things work. But the wing, which is this, it's almost like an airplane wing. I think that's why they call it a wing, mm-hmm. basically just, you know, gets dropped down into the body of the boat. And so they have a whole team on board basically trying to position it just right so that no damage is done while it goes into the slot, basically. And then all everything gets connected, and then it has to come out. So they take the boat, they hoist the whole boat up from the water. They put straps underneath each of the sides of each hull on each side. And so that it has four big straps, and then it's connected to the hoist, and it comes out of the water, and then it goes onto the land. Then they have to basically land, put it on stands, and that's kind of a very delicate process. And there has been some damage when wind comes along in the past to these boats, quite a bit of damage. So you have to be really careful what the weather conditions are when you do this, because whether the boat's on the water or whether it's on land, it still acts like a sail.
Yeah, looking at this picture of this crane, which looks like it's well over 100 feet high. It's almost like at a building construction site, and I can only imagine this thing is designed to catch the wind, so I think maybe even a cool breeze would make it difficult to put in.
Well, when I was there on Thursday night and they were taking the boats out of the water at the end of the practice time and the demonstration for the media, it was probably about 5 to 8 knots. And so it was manageable, you know, within that wind. If there's something like 20 knots or something like that, you're going to have 20 or 25 knots, you're really going to have a difficulty with this.
So, by the way, we're speaking with Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, some of the technical issues. The other thing is, as expensive as these sailing vessels are, they're not built for comfort, they're built for speed. I mean, just the ultimate example of that, aren't they?
Yes, and every single ounce of weight is carefully considered. You have a very efficient design for the team, and one of the things that the teams do is they're training on those boats, how they move from side to side for the tacks, and how they maneuver and fit into their place and do it quickly under really quick responsive conditions, because they're having to respond on the race course to all of the other teams and what they're doing. And if there's another boat that's tacking right in front of them and they have to tack right after to cover, or there's something going on that, you know, we had a whale in San Francisco, you know, and they had to call off the whole race. I mean, you have to pay attention to and respond very quickly to what's happening. And so these athletes, and they truly are athletes. They are professional at what they do. This whole team and the way that SailGP has been put together, and I don't mean the team of just the teams of the individual players on the boat. I'm calling them players to acquaint, you know, make it similar to the other sports, but they're teammates. They have everything really well honed, you know, just how to put this whole thing together, how to take it apart, how to run it when it's going in place. And I'm actually very impressed with what they've done.
I noticed on the SailGP website, you can buy little replicas of the F50 boats from the country for your desk, the little model. They cost $648. Do you have one? Did you get it free?
Well, you know what I have is I actually have a gift for you and Darren. I haven't yet arrived back to San Francisco, so I'm not in person there with you in the studio, as you know. But I have a beautiful book for both of you from one of the previous seasons. It's a book of photographs of the SailGP race, and it's really amazing. So when I bring it in, then you can show it to the
thoughtful of you,
our fans on Twitch.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, it was getting it on the plane is actually heavy, because I was just having to figure out how to put it in my suitcase, right?
Wow. Must be a big...
I don't know that I could have carried a model. Now, see, that $600 for that little model, that's what it costs to anchor when they regulate where boats can go in the harbor.
Wow,
for the race.
Didn't know that.
So they had several boats out there that had passengers on it, and then, of course, all the surrounding boats, like, for example, the X.E. Johnson and the... there were two tall ships that are part of the Lamni, which is a nonprofit that maintains these historic tall ships that were out there anchored, and then they were full of people. So the spectators were not just in the bleachers; they were also on the boats that were on the side of the playing field that they had set up within the water.
Let me ask you about this, and I don't know if you can answer or not, but what would you see, as you've seen this completely, over the years, the technical part of it sort of evolve, what would you think would be next?
Well, I really feel like that one of the things about SailGP is that what they're trying to do is create something that is a formula that can be repeated in multiple cities and that happens every month somewhere around the world. And so what they're really looking at is performance and honing things so that they are more refined. I think that the developments have always come out of America's Cup. And I don't mean all the developments, of course, but that's usually where things are push forward, and SailGP in some ways was born out of the America's Cup boats and what Larry Ellison wanted to see done with them. So I don't know that I have the expertise to speak about the individual innovations, but I do have quite an understanding of how things work in the whole system and how the system fits together of all the different boats and communities and how they relate to each other. And the innovations oftentimes come either, come from people who put a tremendous amount of money into development, and that America's Cup race is the race that really drives that and has for more than a century.
It's Karen Lyle. Check it out. Sailsport.com.